Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guests today are the Hectors. Check out myspace.com/thehectors. We're going to start by playing a track from their EP, Sometimes They Collide. Then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Hectors. Guys, thanks for coming out on a a Monday afternoon for a rogue edition of Is Good. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
Very well. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Let me just start by saying you guys, I had heard of you guys because I've seen you on the MySpace pages of several other bands I'd interviewed. You guys sent me the funniest email message I've ever gotten from a band trying to get on the show. It really made me feel good because it made me realize that I'm hanging out with especially cool bands, you know, because I'm being hit up by a lot of bands to come on this show because I've been interviewing their friends. That's and right. Good bands tend to hang out with good bands, so it makes it a lot easier. I'm going to shut the window
here.
We
have a traffic jam.
Amen to that. They agree.
this show can be particularly interesting when it's 105 degrees outside and I have to shut the window. But all right,
January in LA.
Let's go around the room and just introduce ourselves. Who are you and what do you bring to the Hectors?
I'm Corinne, and I bring vocals and guitar and occasionally beers.
I'm Jim, and I play bass and keyboard sometimes, but not today.
American, I play the drums.
I'm Robert, and I play guitar.
And sing.
Is this how much of this is a collaborative effort, and how much of it is sort of like, you know, one person and their band?
Oh, it's very collaborative. Jim and I usually we'll bring in a structure of a song, and we'll all work it out, and everybody will write their own part. So, but in the future, we want to kind of start jamming stuff out more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did most of the songs start out with you and Jim just kind of working out a song, and then the rest of the band brings their kind of flavor to it, and
yeah.
Then you modify the song until it becomes the band's song?
Yes.
Yeah. We usually come in with some sort of a skeleton and then really hash it out over weeks and weeks.
Weeks and weeks. All right, cool. Well, you guys ready to jump into a live song?
Sure. Yeah.
What would you like to play for us first?
This song's called I Drove All the Way from Bridgeport to Make It With You.
Nice. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest are the Hectors.
Right.
family's watching from their cars. If you break through, I'll go to Day Street. Your warm bones and timeless honeycomb, and I can find you if you run forward. You pass by my front door, leave your white man costume.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guests are the Hectors. You know, it's interesting about your music. It's sort of walking this fine line between kind of dreamy, ethereal, melodramatic pop and straight-up indie rock. You know, it's sometimes with the dreamy quality that a lot of indie bands get, the music can be kind of boring and slow, and you guys, you don't have that. You have a much more sort of upbeat approach to it. No, tell me a little bit about... You're pretty boring. You guys suck. All right. Well, that's been my show.
Thank you, everybody.
Tell me a little bit about sort of finding the sound of the Hectors instead of just being another rock band.
Well, I think kind of what you said, a lot of shoegaze bands, they rely too much on their pedals. It's like you get a nice delay going and you can have a very simple back and forth progression. But I think we generally try to work things out without pedals and then put the pedals on after. It makes for a better song.
The guy sitting next to a huge pedal board just laughing.
I think Robert's guitar defines
is boring.
The sound. It defines the sound quite a bit. I mean, the basic rhythm section, I think, is you know, fairly standard, sort of. But Robert is got a lot of pedals.
Yeah, but the idea is to, you know, not overuse them, just to fill out the sound, but to have the you know, the structure of the song stand out, you know, even without. So, you know, hopefully even in this setting where it's more stripped down, and you know, I think it works pretty well.
And did you play in other bands before the Hectors?
I played with different people, but never permanently, like in a band before. So this is my first band.
So have you sort of learned to define your style of playing guitar within the Hectors, as opposed to sort of having another style from your experience in other bands and then changing it to be a part of this band?
Well, it's a little bit of both. It seems like, you know, I kind of sense a song out by whatever's appropriate, and I think that's sort of what I play, because I listen to all kinds of stuff, different things, and yeah, I don't know. It's like different things that I listen to come out in different parts of the Hector's song, so yeah, it sort of varies.
How did the band sort of begin? Like, you're saying, Corinne and Jim, you guys usually start with the writing of each song. Did it start with just the two of you as the band, and you found other people to play with?
Yeah. We were roomies, and we just started writing songs together just kind of for fun. I was actually working on it with sort of another recording project. And so we just started writing songs, and once we had a few that we really liked, we decided to do something more with it.
How'd you come across these characters?
Be honest.
Robert and I had recorded on the other recording project I was just talking about. Robert had recorded guitar for a few songs because we had been friends for some time, and I liked the way he came up with things on the spot. So he was really the first and only choice. And yeah. Eric.
Amen to that.
Eric was a friend of a friend.
That's me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Diane Duffy.
Yeah, Diane Duffy introduced us. We were looking around for a good, cool drummer.
But also just a guy we liked.
Yeah,
it's exactly. So important, I think, to be in a band, to just enjoy each other's company. We're doing this for fun, mm-hmm. first and foremost. So we all really like each other, and that's a big part of our group.
Definitely. It comes through the music. When you have a band where they don't really like each other, but they're kind of tied together because they have to get that next album out or whatever, you can hear it in the music.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning of the music, you know, from the songwriting all the way through.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure we'll get there, but
it's
early.
It's like a month away, but right now we're enjoying it.
Try not to break up on the show. I haven't had that happen.
No, not yet.
Why don't we listen to another track from this EP? Is this your guys' debut EP, or is there other music out there?
It's our second EP, but frankly, we weren't thrilled with our first. So this is our first EP that we like.
Okay.
So yes.
Emotionally, it's our first EP.
Yeah.
Nice. How long did it take you to put this one together, G?
A few months, at least.
Because
we sort of recorded it ourselves, and so...
Was it the better part of last summer, I think?
Yeah.
And then finishing touches, like...
In the fall.
The fall and winter.
And then mm-hmm. we released it in September. So, yeah.
And is it, in your mind, a precursor to a full length, or is it separate from that?
Definitely a precursor. Yeah, we just kind of wanted to get something down. It was originally going to be a full length, but then we just thought, geez, let's get something out, and we'll write a bunch of new songs. We'll see what happens, so...
Cool. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit after we listen to a track about sort of that process of figuring out which songs end up on the EP and how many songs you're really going to put all the effort into. What track should we listen to right now?
Do you want to?
Yeah, Million would be good. Three?
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Hectors. Stick around. We'll be right back. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Hectors. So let's talk a little bit about the writing process. Like, you guys, do you kind of start with a song and follow it all the way through to the end, or do you guys write a whole bunch of songs and see which one sort of sticks to the wall?
This is what we do. Jim and I will put on a movie, we'll turn down the volume, often we'll be inebriated, and we'll just kind of come up with riffs. And then we'll go listen to it a couple days later, and what we like, we'll take. And that's usually when we're writing, if we're writing songs together. That happens when we're writing songs together. Otherwise, usually one person will write the majority of the song, and the other person will kind of play editor.
And do you really mean that you're sort of writing riffs sort of to the movie that you're watching, or is this just sort of,
It kind of frees you up.
We just push record, and we play for an hour or so, and then troll back through it a little later to see if there's anything good there.
Does your music change sort of based on what genres you're into at any given time?
Absolutely.
We call it the Balaban Jam.
Yeah.
Because we noticed that the first like three movies we did it to, Bob Balaban, the actor, was in all of them.
And there were songs that came out of all of those.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have a lot of love for Bob Balaban.
Yeah. He's a big part of the band.
Yeah. He's a big
What do you guys so it starts with the instrumentation then. What about the lyrics? When does that come in?
Prin writes all the lyrics. Usually afterwards, though, after the song is pretty much developed.
And what are some of the themes that you find yourself continually coming back to in your music?
Well, in a weird way, I've noticed that I write a lot of songs from the perspective of when I was 13, and I don't know why that is. I think that I've just noticed that people don't change that much. That you're essentially the same person as you were as you 13. So I write a lot of songs about people I knew when I was 13. But then it varies, you know.
Is that sort of like at the time that you're discovering love and you're discovering
I think everything's
being
so
really
potent.
Angry at someone and your emotions are really intense at that time.
Yeah, but it's not diluted. It's very intense and there's no like hiding behind adulthood. You know, it's just what it is.
You haven't quite learned how to sublimate
your feelings.
You're
hurt very much or you feel wonderful very much. It's just very intense. So for some reason I've got like three or four songs from that period.
And do you tend to write it in sort of literal terms, like this is a story about a girl who's going through this, or is it more abstract and metaphorical?
I think I start abstractly, but then it ends up coming from a place of memory, you know, and then it's a fusion of both, you know. I can't really say one way or the other, but it's definitely got both in it.
Cool. Are you guys ready for another live song?
Sure.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do now?
This song is called Chen, He is Superfly. We usually don't play this live anymore because we're too loud for it. But this was actually the first official Hectors song.
All right. So. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Hectors. Check this out.
Outside of Deer Park overflows with sound. The sky. Chen doesn't live in Deer Park, he lives in a town nearby. Hands always in pockets, looking through thick glasses at the girls who pass him by. Chen. Watching Tinted Glass. never hard to find. Shan, he is Superfly.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest for the Hectors. Do you, we're talking a little bit about this idea about being loud versus not being so loud. That's got to sort of affect your choices in terms of where you like to play and what kind of venues you like to play in. Where do you guys like to play? Not necessarily a name of a place, but what kind of scene do you like to perform in?
Well, it's nice. Basically, I always really like it when I'm playing with bands I like because it makes me excited to play the show. Because it's fun to hang out with them and it's fun to watch their show. So it could be a little hole in the wall or a bigger place, but that's what makes me have fun. It's just kind of the community of it and the friendship of it and the fun of it. So,
And how much of what you guys do in your minds is, you know, the live rock act versus the recording artists in the studio? Like, do you guys have a preference or are they completely different animals?
I like both. I really enjoy recording. I don't think that's shared by everyone here, but so I think we think of ourselves more as a live act than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert, what do you think?
No, I'm nodding. I'm nodding on the radio.
Clever.
Yeah.
So what for you makes, aside from knowing that you're playing with other bands that you guys enjoy, and I think, you know, bookers always forget that the bands that are there that night also have to be there that night. Like, they have to hang out at that club besides performing. So It always just burns me when they book bands that would never be able to share each other's fans and would never like each other because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because then you're stuck saying, you know, you're going to perform, but first you have to hang out at some crappy club you don't want to be at and then perform.
Yep. We've played with some jam bands and a couple metal bands.
It's always fun when you have, like, a band that comes in from, like, out of town and brings like 40 people because, you know, like this is sort of a make it or break it kind of show for them because they're from out of town trying to, you know, have a good show in LA or something like that. But then, of course, as soon as they're done, then the 40 people are also leaving them.
And you have your 5 or 10 people there because you played 3 or 4 shows the prior week. Mm-hmm. So it's,
and that's a very LA thing too, is you know, it's always sort of compared to, you know, someone's play or something. You know, you go to see that one person or that one band, and then you leave, and it's kind of unfortunate, you know?
It is.
Yeah, I mean, more often than not, we're probably playing to bands in the audience anyway. I mean, I'm sure everyone out, you know, 9 out of 10 people probably have a band themselves.
Right. So what makes for a good live show for you guys? Aside from, you know, enjoying the scene, is it, do you base it on your performance? Do you base it on the audience reaction? What really makes it cool for you?
As long as it's not a restaurant. We have no more restaurant deal here.
Yeah.
You have to tell me about that experience that made you say no more restaurants.
Well,
there have been a couple.
Well, Tex, you know, the French restaurant on Sunset, we played there quite a few times. And it's actually a really cool place. And Mason, who books it, is a really cool guy. Yeah. But yeah, there's something weird about playing while people are having a fine French dinner, you know, and a glass of wine.
Yeah, it's like they're eating their escargot, and then we like kick on the overdrive, and then they just give us the dirtiest looks. And
suddenly they're like, "I'm eating snails."
Yeah, I paid $40 for these snails, you know, and it's not comfortable.
And early on, we play Cantors in the Kibitz room, and same kind of thing. There, the volume issues always with.
Because early on, you just got to get your chops out, but it's. It's awkward.
we like venues where you can play as loud as you want and it's not
people.
An issue, right? Yeah. And it's not hurting people's food.
Right.
And you guys like to perform a lot as opposed, you know, some bands they prefer, you know, I'm only going to play every 6 weeks so that way, you know, I know I'll get my fans out. Or do you guys prefer to play more frequently?
I don't think we worry about it that much. Yeah. I mean, we heard Henry Clay people on your show a few days ago, and you said they played 80 shows last year. We don't do that, but
I think we'd like to. We just don't.
Yeah, it's fun to. I mean, it's fun to play. I mean, I love playing. I mean, it'd be fun to play as often as possible. But you know, I guess in this town in particular, you have to be really strategic about when you're going to play and where. So
yeah, which is unfortunate. It's one of the downsides of LA. I wish we could play all the time.
We need to get out a little more to like Long Beach and Orange County.
Pacoima.
That's crazy.
They need us there, Jim.
Orange County.
Do you guys have plans to tour or anything like that, or go up the coast or anything?
Yeah, in the spring we're gonna do like a West Coast
is the word.
Can I switch it up a little more?
I like that. West Core. It's like
West
a good
core. West Core. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a good punk scene here. Yeah. West Core. But yeah, yeah, we're gonna do something
cool. So. Where can people get this EP that we're listening to? Sometimes they collide.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm. If they go to our site or our MySpace, there's links to where they could buy it.
Yeah.
Or if they come see us, then we're playing tomorrow night at Silver Lake Lounge. So if you come see us tomorrow night, we'll give you a copy.
We'll give you a copy.
Are you all right?
$5.
We'll sell you a copy.
Entrepreneur Jim, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And what's Tarantism? I see it's Tarantism Records. Is that you guys? Yeah. Is it sort of a self-made label?
Yeah.
But explain what it actually means. Explain the condition.
Tarantism is it's a disease where you can't stop dancing.
Nice.
So we thought that'd be funny.
As long as none of my listeners have the disease, it's hilarious.
I think it's from like the Middle Ages.
Or they recovered.
And yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Have it under control.
Yeah, I think I have the opposite disease.
I think most of LA has dancing. The opposite disease.
Yeah,
they have the arm cross disease.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to another track. What do you guys think I should play?
How about Carol and Sanford, which I think is the...
Number two?
Yeah. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Hectors. MySpace.com/TheHectors. Is that the place to get the most up-to-date info on your band?
Sure.
Or thehectors.com.
Either one.
Yeah.
Cool. Stick around. We'll be right back. And we're back on It's Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Hectors. Where's the name come from? The Hectors. I noticed there's nobody named Hector in the band.
No. We liked it because it just sounded like a bunch of guys named Hector, but it also means bully. So we're very mean.
Yes, in the
yeah, you seem like mean-spirited folk.
Very mean people.
Vicious.
It was the name of a gang in 17th century London.
16th century London.
Oh, right.
Son of a bitch.
You know what?
I ruined
We've lost our cred in London.
You lost your Enlightenment era street cred.
I know. Give up your pantaloons now.
Right. We like that image.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. As the Renaissance street thugs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's us.
Awesome.
What sort of thinking about your music in a larger sense? What sort of direction do you see yourselves going in, or making sure that you don't go in? You know, in terms of building your fan base, you know, getting radio play. Are there certain things you just trends you don't want to fall into, or a character of the music you want to keep?
Stringcore.
Stringcore.
Along
Westcore. West Coast core.
I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit at the beginning where you were talking about how some of the tendencies that shoegaze acts get into. And are you guys sort of very aware of a Hector's sound?
I don't think so.
Not necessarily. There probably is a Hector sound, but I think for us to sort of knowingly focus on it probably wouldn't be like a good idea. I think just to let it go wherever it'll go is probably the best thing.
I guess that's where it starts to go downhill, is when you start identifying what your sound is, and then you only do that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
We're good at us.
Yeah, as long as it's challenging. And yeah, when we write songs or put songs together, it's just whatever sounds really interesting at the time.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to ask your talkative drummer a couple things. First, about the number five, the short circuit robot that he ran in for us today. Go ahead and grab that mic and just tell
you
me.
You can share Jim's mic if
for
you
the
want.
Sake of this doing is okay. This. This acoustic version of On Is Good. What did you build for us today?
It's not that complicated. It's just my hi-hat with a tambourine attachment, as well as a splash attachment. So it does look quite number-fied-esque.
And a flux capacitor.
Yeah, it's the flux. Yeah, that's right here. It's just, I like to play with cymbals a little bit.
Mostly.
Eric's got a lot of cymbals.
How did you get into drumming in the first place? Did it start with banging on pots and pans as a kid, or
well,
what?
A really good friend of mine is just a ridiculous drummer, and so I
Thanks,
bought him.
Eric.
Not you, not Robert. Let me clarify that. So I bought his old kit off of him, and just kind of dorked out during college by myself, and then I never really took drumming seriously. I'm a painter, artist, kind of. That's where all my time goes, and so. Duffy, as we mentioned earlier, introduced me to the band because she got sick of hearing my drums in the studio at grad school. So, I just kind of progressed through there. They were good people, and yeah. So this is my first band, and the first time I've had to even play a full song all the way through, was with these guys. So, the first few months were definitely me kind of developing as a drummer. But, yeah, that's where I came.
And coming into the process of the song after it's already been the skeleton's already been built, do you feel like you understand Jim and Corinne's sort of style of writing enough to just swing it?
Definitely. It's the songs, though, they tend to like months and months of tweaks here and there. So at first it's like me coming in with break beats and like hip hoppy stuff, and then they tone me down a little bit, and then we've been together for so long now that it's definitely like a certain groove that goes with the band, and so it's not too tough. But at the same time, every new song that we come up with is hopefully going to be complicated in one way or another, so it remains interesting.
Did they ever bring a song to the table and and you and Robert kind of look at it and go, this really isn't a Hector song, or we don't know what to do with this? And
well,
there's been a few occasions where we've had to sort of put a song back on the shelf, I guess, because we were working at it a little too hard, I guess, and it just didn't seem to come together as quickly as other stuff. I mean, not that we're afraid of hard work or anything like that, but the good thing about Jim and Corinne is that they seem to be pretty prolific, and so there's always you know, a few songs that are like in circulation. So we're, you know, we're trying different stuff out. And if one seems to gel really quickly or better, like we just take that momentum kind of. So.
Yeah. And what's your focus right now? Is it just going out and promoting the EP, or are you guys working on new material all the time?
We're doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I was wondering what we're
Robert would like to know.
I've been writing songs. Jim's been working on our new video, which involves cosmonauts. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to try to do that tour in spring and trying to play around here, too. So it takes a lot of work to be a band.
16th century British cosmonauts.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. It's hard work. It's a lot of costumes. So.
And we're trying to get the EP out to, you know, different bloggers and things like that right now and different sites. And
yeah,
that takes some work, too.
Just trying to get people interested.
Yeah.
And where would you like to see the band kind of land in terms of the amount of work you're willing to put into it? And I mean, do you want it just to be enough so that you guys can devote all your time to this project and just live off the music? Or do you see Carnegie Hall, front cover Rolling Stones? What do you guys have in mind?
We want to not open for a puppet show.
At a restaurant.
Yeah, at a restaurant. That's our goal.
I think the ultimate would be to be able to quit the day job. Anything other, you know, anything more than that would be just gravy.
Yeah, music for a living would be nice.
You guys want to do another live song?
Sure.
Love to.
Sure.
What are we going to do now?
What's this one called?
What is it called?
Somebody. Yeah, I forgot what we're doing.
It's called Something.
It's called Some Sort of Song.
And it was written by somebody. I don't know. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Hectors. This is what they sound like.
Thank you, audience. Robert. They
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Hectors. That was great. It was really nice.
Thank you.
Corinne, what came for you first? Was it singing or playing guitar?
Playing guitar. Actually, when we first started the band, I didn't really know how to do either. So it took us a little while. We've probably been together almost 3 years now, but that first year was really just us, especially me and Eric, kind of getting our chops together.
Did you have to kind of find your voice, your lead singer voice?
Well, it was a weird thing. Like, I initially started writing songs, but I didn't really know how to sing. And our early shows were pretty shambolic, and I didn't sing very well. So it was kind of trial by fire. But I think I got my first guitar when I was 13, and I played around
That year again.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking, it comes back to your music.
It's strange. Now I'm thinking about it now. But then I gave it up, and I stopped after like a half a year, and then I picked it up again like in my early 20s and started playing with it again. So, but yeah.
And did you have to, with a female front person, as it were, are there certain expectations that people have of the band, maybe before they really get to know you, about what the music is going to be like or what kind of songs you're going to write? Has that been a challenge at all for you?
I think the biggest challenge when we started is people couldn't hear my voice because I didn't know how to sing, and because we were writing more acoustically and then tried to translate it to an big electric thing, and it wasn't, orchestrated the right way. Or
so you would learn to sing to a quiet song, but then when it got louder.
But that made me better. So now we knew how to write to our strengths. And I think that that's kind of made the band evolve in a really cool way. I know where to, I have to sing loud.
Cool. Where are you guys playing next? I know you have a bunch of shows coming up. I think actually with some artists who've been on this program before. What's coming up next for you guys?
Tomorrow night at Silver Lake Lounge.
With Cocoa Bees, who are a great fun band. The Transmissions, we're playing with them at La Cita, which we've never played at before, but it's a fun bar downtown. We're playing with them, I think, the 28th of this month.
Cool.
Yeah. And we have a few more things in the works, but not official yet. So.
All right, so people should go to myspace.com/thehectors or thehectors.com to find out what's coming up next.
Yeah, that would be
good.
They
should go there.
And then come see us.
And then come see you play live. Yes, exactly. And buy your CD.
That'd be great.
And get a sticker.
Sure.
Which is cool. Right. All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming in.
Right.
Thank you.
It's really good to meet you.
Thank you.
My guests have been the Hectors. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This episode will be available for download probably tonight or tomorrow, as well as podcasts on iTunes. So drop by myspace.com/thisisgood to see what's coming up next and to hear all the interviews that we've done over the past couple of years. Again, you've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.